This is the Wonder Life Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Ritter. Each week, I interview game changers, thought leaders, and functional health and wellness experts to inspire us to light up our lives so we can go out and light up this world. You may follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Wonder Health, and that is Wonder with a U.
We'd like to take a moment to thank and highlight some of our sponsors and partners for this year's Gut Check Summit and the Wonder Life Wellness and Beauty Expo. Access to Health and Thompson Valley Chiropractic will be joining us. Dr. Renee and Dr. Becky are Gonstead chiropractors. Their mission is to get sick people well and to keep well people healthy. They do everything possible to listen to your challenges and offer solutions. Both doctors see the incredible healing power of the body and know that chiropractic care, exercise, and proper diet and nutrition can help each person achieve and perform at their optimal potential. The doctors specialize in wellness care for families and individuals and see a variety of conditions, including chronic low back pain, neck pain, headaches, or rehabilitation following an accident or injury. They provide information about creating a healthier workplace and show you how to get better faster. We'd also like to recognize the Fort Collins Fitness Festival. Fitness Festival is the first of its kind and magnitude to hit Northern Colorado. It made history with the first annual event in 2018, bringing together top fitness gurus, new fitness technology, wellness, and much more for one incredible experience. Join them this year on September 21st, 2019 for the Fort Collins Fitness Festival.
This week on the Wonder Life Podcast, I interviewed Kimberly and Carl Malone, and they shared with me how they help people find wellness and balance, body, mind, and spirit, using very cool techniques that you'll hear all about. They'll also be at the Wonder Health and Wellness Summit and Wonder Life Wellness and Beauty Expo on April the 6th in Fort Collins, Colorado, where you will get the legit guide to your gut health and how it affects everything. Get your tickets now at wonderhealth.com and use code NATURALPATH to receive $20 off of your summit pass. Why are emotions tied to our gut health and I guess our overall health?
Certainly, we can have an emotional event that triggers an emotion like low self-esteem or self-criticism way back in the past, and we're bumping up against something today where we're stuck, not able to move forward. And if we can identify that original event and take the energy off it, clear it, then often we can move forward. So we can have emotions associated specifically with the gut. The stomach could have feelings of oversympathetic or feeling sorry. The large intestine could have feelings of just feeling stuck. We could have feelings of lost or feeling helpless or vulnerable. And those emotions can affect the way that our gut is able to function.
That is crazy. So, like, if people are having, you know, some sort of experience, whether a positive or negative or excitement or worry or whatever, then, you know, people talk about like, oh, my stomach's in knots or I feel butterflies.
Right. Great analogy. If you've ever gotten bad news, you have that feeling like I just got socked in the gut.
Yeah.
That's a good example of the emotional reaction, which would actually, in that instance, affect the way that the body is able to, you know, process food and will affect the gut and the gut biome. So there's a major piece of emotions that contribute to gut health.
So what is, do you know what's actually happening in there?
You're going to have constriction of blood vessels. There's going to be interruption in the nerve signaling and the communication network. So it's going to disrupt that function.
I think it's interesting. Can you explain also how emotions take on a physical manifestation?
Sure. There is a great book. A lot of people are familiar with the book of Molecules of Emotion. And in Molecules of Emotion, Dr. Candace Pert surmised that we could have an emotional event like anger, which triggers the body to create a molecule called a neuropeptide. And that neural peptide has a plug-in, like a wall socket, but a receptor. And it searches for its receptor, and anger tends to find itself in the liver. So these neural peptides, this theory talked about how it could find its plug-in in the liver and begin to disrupt the liver, the communication of the liver. And that may have happened years ago. We may not be able to remember it. It's something we don't want to remember, we put away. And through neuroemotional technique, we can go back and discover that original event and help to clear that. And Dr. Pert surmised that if we could find and clear the emotional event, the body no longer needs that neural peptide and would tend to release it, and we would reabsorb it or dump it out, and that organ could begin the healing process. Restore the communication, restore the function. A lot of people have seen that movie, What the Bleep Do We Know Anyway?
Yeah.
Which was based on some of that work. And neuroemotional technique, Candace Pert had a huge hand in how this has developed and evolved.
That is fascinating. So what do we do with this technique? How can you go back and see where maybe that emotion came from? And then how does that clearing actually occur?
Well, we use a technique a lot of people are familiar with, muscle response testing. And we first find what the emotion is that is going on and where it resides in the body. And then we use muscle response testing to go deeper than the conscious mind. We're going down into the subconscious, the hippocampus, where these memories are stored. There's a part of the brain that has stored everything from conception to right now. And it doesn't have a concept of time. It's deeper than the conscious mind. It's in the mammalian and the primal brain, the reptilian brain. And we can bypass, in a sense, the conscious mind and go down to deeper layers. And through muscle response testing, help to find it and identify it. And then generally when I ask someone, you know, do you recall a feeling of resentment around the age of 12, and we can even discover whether it's related to a family member, a friend, somebody that, you know, was in our life at that time. And sometimes we pick up emotions from people who are around because we can't help but be sensitive to other people's emotions. So when I ask them generally, can you recall this instance? They almost always say, oh, yeah, that's when my family moved us across the country and I had to say goodbye to all my friends. That's when I had my accident. That's when I had my divorce. That's when I quit school. And so their conscious mind isn't keeping up with that. However, through the neuroemotional technique, we can go back and identify that and then use some manual methods to help release that.
That is crazy. So do we all have the ability to release it? Like, are we all able to heal from these programs from the past that have stored themselves somewhere in our system?
Well, we often need to take a look at ideas that we're carrying around, belief systems that are worn out and outdated, and be willing and ready to let go of those things, because many times we're hung up on those things. So, yes, I believe some people are way better at it than others. And sometimes it helps to have a third party that's outside of that circle in your mind and in your world to help to draw that out and identify it and help clear it. I teach a technique called the First Aid Stress Tool, FAST for short. And I try to arm people with a method of clearing their own emotions. It's great for kids to help them be able to go ahead and move forward on their own. So they're not dependent on anyone else, mm-hmm. me or anyone else.
Wow. That is wild. What if people are like my husband, for example, like what if people are resistant or don't necessarily believe that muscle testing works, or maybe even that like they can change? I mean, I guess if they're here seeing you on some level, they think they can, that's why they're here. But what if like people don't believe, does muscle testing still work? Can you get beyond the layers?
Well, they're absolutely, you know, locked into a belief system. Dr. Bruce Lipton has the book Biology of Belief, and he describes where our body and our mind is powerful enough to override, say, a medical treatment. So we have the power to override like I say, a medical treatment or a treatment like mine, if you're totally stuck in a belief system, for example, I use low-level laser, and if somebody absolutely believes low-level laser does not work, despite all the clinical studies and all the science and all of that behind it, if they're hardwired to believe something doesn't work, it won't work.
We are so much more powerful than we even believe. Yeah. So you and Kimberly work together in this wonderful wellness space. And Kimberly, you really focus on, I mean, many things, but you really focus on the heart. It's the heart sound recorder. I mean, God bless me for having a brain cell. You might need to help override my mental block today. But so you do the heart sound recorder, and I've had this done, and I think it's pretty fascinating what you can find out. What does this technology do?
Well, it's the output of the technology looks very similar to like an EKG would. However, it is a device that is picking up movement, so similar to the way we use an accelerometer to feel if the earth is moving or if there's an earthquake happening. We're picking up movement of the heart and the valves of the heart, and nothing electrical. We're not actually listening to the sound of the heart. We're truly just feeling the movement of the heart with that device. And it's very cool because we're able to see things like how well do the valves close? How strong are the contractions? How complete are the contractions of the heart? We can even look at, depending on the valve we're looking at, we can even make some recommendations based on maybe the adrenals look like they're struggling or the circulation isn't great. So it gives us a view into the heart that we don't get with any other type of technology. And it allows us to make nutritional and lifestyle recommendations that we can then go back and rerun a scan for someone, and we can see the improvement. Or if whatever was recommended isn't working, we can try something else. So we're really looking for vitamin deficiencies, maybe incomplete protein digestion, things like
that. And you can see this all like with the behavior of the heart.
The way the heart is positioned in the body, it basically has first dibs on nutrition and oxygen, and it gets to use all that it needs because the heart is so important. So if we see deficiencies or lack in the way the heart muscle is working, and that could be related to the muscle itself or the electrical innervation of the heart, we can know that that's happening throughout the body because the heart is a very good reflection of how the rest of the body is functioning and the health of the rest of the body.
That is fascinating. So, you know, I mean, everyone's like talking about gut health like it's the new kale.
Right.
And so when we think about the fact that we're all talking about gut health, gut's the root of our total well-being, our immune system, how does the heart play into that? Because it sounds like, I mean, first of all, if we don't have a heart, we're pretty well done.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, we need the heart, we need our nervous system to be intact. But like, as far as the, maybe not hierarchy, but I guess it's like, since the heart is kind of taking what it needs first, how do you know, I mean, how it communicates with the rest of the body or with our gut or, that sort of thing?
As far as the heart sound recorder device, I don't see directly into how the gut is functioning, but we can tell things like, if the circulation in the body isn't great, there can be reasons for that. And some of those could be digestive related.
Yeah.
So we kind of have to go through a process of understanding what someone is experiencing symptom-wise and understanding their lifestyle a little bit to kind of zero in on why would the blood be more thicker than it should be. And that can get down to too many fats in the blood or undigested or incomplete proteins or amino acids, basically, or incomplete proteins floating around in the blood. And then we're looking back at the gut. why is that happening? Why do we not either break down proteins appropriately? Why aren't we breaking down fats appropriately? Or why are we getting too much fat that's not being processed correctly? So there are some things in the heart graph that will lead us to the gut. But it's kind of nice here. We also use other tools with the muscle testing, where if I see something in a heart scan, Carl can follow up and see if the muscle testing gives any further information or can corroborate what I'm seeing.
Yeah, I was going to ask. So how do you guys work together? You have all these amazing tools that you use, and, you know, your energetic work that you do as well. You're basing this in science, but you're using, you know, strong intuition as well. And then you have your lasers, which play into the whole story if they need to. But how do you typically work together to help to bring balance for someone's well-being?
Well, the heart, first off, when we look at it, we can see, because the heart is an electrical system, the heart is a nervous system, and the heart is a muscle.
Which, like its own nervous system outside of the nervous system?
Well, it's part of the nervous
system. Oh, it's part of it. Okay.
So it gives us a chance to have a snapshot of the body's nervous system overall, the electrical system in the body, and the muscles. And so when we look at that, it gives us an indication throughout the body, and certainly we have muscle responses, neuro responses, electrical responses in the gut. So as we start to help correct these conditions, that's going to be throughout the body. It's an excellent way to get a snapshot, because the heart, all other systems will tend to support the heart. We need the heart first and foremost. And so the other systems of the body, the adrenals, the kidneys, the bladder, the intestines, they will tend to support the function of the heart, and they'll compromise themselves for the heart. So it's a great way to open a window into the body.
So, yeah, when we have someone new come in, we're almost always going to start with some muscle testing, and we use a technique called nutrition response testing, which checks all the organs in the body to see how they're doing and if they are asking for any help. And then we'll also usually do a heart scan with the heart sound recorder, and we'll usually do a little heart rate variability testing as well to understand a little bit more about how the nervous system is doing. And so for just about everybody, we like to start with some of those basics. And then from there, we may branch off and say, you know what, because of the structural issues or the pain issues you're having, let's have you do some cold laser and body work with Carl. Or maybe we do need to work on heart. Let's make some diet changes. Let's do some supplementing and let's relook at heart again. Maybe they're having allergies. We also use a lot of biofeedback for helping with sensitivities to things like the environment and foods.
And so what is biofeedback?
We use an electrical device. Biofeedback traditionally would be learning to monitor your own body. People that had migraines would maybe even hold a little thermometer in their fingertips that could tell whenever the body was under stress, the temperature in the extremities goes down. And when you learn to recognize and be able to deal with that stress, often you could prevent migraines. So traditional biofeedback didn't use a device. More modern or allo biofeedback, we use a computer that has frequencies already scanned in. So we can check to see if you have a sensitivity to a frequency of any of the dusts or pollens or hair danders or chemicals.
Environmental. With frequency. Wow.
So it's similar to a lie detector test. It actually uses galvanic skin response, one of the components of a lie detector, that if somebody, for example, may have an issue with cat hair. So they walk into a house and they start itching and wheezing and they haven't even seen the cat. Mm-hmm. They could probably tell you there's a cat around here somewhere because they've experienced that before. We can scan the frequency of virtually anything into the computer. So if we scan the frequency of cat hair into the computer and play it back up against the skin, with a little metal connector that you just lay your palm on, a little palm scanner, and we play that frequency, if the body has an issue with that frequency, it's going to show us the reaction, if they have a reaction, and how much reaction. Then within the biofeedback system, we have balancing remedy frequencies. So just like cat hair has a frequency that throws the body out of balance, we have another frequency that can help bring the body into balance. So it's an option of using frequency rather than any kind of medication or supplement or something else. It actually helps to balance the nervous system. The idea or the premise behind it is we can't change the frequency of cat hair, but maybe we can change the way your body and your nervous system react to cat hair. And we can do that with hundreds of thousands of different frequencies that are already have been collected over the decades that biofeedback has been followed probably more than any other modality. And so we have this culmination of this history of knowledge that we can draw on.
That is totally like intuitively what I know is that we are energy, we are frequency. And really, I mean, I hate to say this is the future of medicine because it's happening now.
Right.
Do you guys see that allopathic, more traditional medicine will adopt some more use of the energy and the frequency medicine? I mean, do you feel like we're in a place where we're going to have that shift? I mean, because this is where it's at. This is what we are. And so for you to be able to read me based upon my frequency versus like, I mean, aren't they even doing, I mean, isn't an MRI sort of the same? There's not saying it or some of these other tools. I just feel like if people could get on board with this now and like, really, it's like, okay, energetically and emotionally, what's happening with you? I mean, we are resilient. We are able to heal ourselves, but if we could get on track with what you guys are talking about sooner rather than later, it's just a whole different game.
I see emerging where I think we can work together. I really don't think we're diametrically opposed between, you know, we're trying to help people with prevention and just staying healthy. When people get to a point where things get bad enough and they have a symptom, they go to the doc and they say, give me something to make this go away. And the docs are very good at that. And they have lots of things to draw on that can help get rid of the symptom. But that person never asked the doctor to bring them back to a full functioning immune system and good rest and brain clarity and good sleep. And in this sense, I think we work very well together. And there's a number of really great docs here in town that we've had people back and forth that I think there's a really nice synergy. Naturally, when somebody has an emergency or needs a surgery or what we're doing may not be working fast enough, you know, we might say it's time to go get, you know, an MRI. Let's pursue that route. So I think in that sense, there's a huge opportunity to work together because we have the best emergency and surgical medicine in the world. So it's an opportunity to work together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think we're already seeing a lot of this, the baby steps toward this, because, for example, cold laser, vets have used that for a long time. And there are many people out there that know their vet uses cold laser or offers it for their animals. So it's very accepted in the veterinary.
And what does cold laser do for those of us who might not be clear?
Well, I kind of joke that cold laser is brand new technology from 1964. Came out the year before Star Trek came out. But it's not new technology. It essentially, scientists measured cell frequency in a laboratory setting and recreated those frequencies and discovered that when the cells receive the photon, there's a photochemical exchange that basically energizes and resuscitates the cell. And then NASA took tissue in space and tested different pulses or frequencies and came back with frequencies that work better for specific cells. So we have frequencies for virtually every tissue in the body. And when you can resuscitate the cell and cause it to open up and dump out its toxins and resuscitate the mitochondria within the cell to produce up to 150% more ATP, more energy, then cells can split and multiply and you can grow new healthy cells at a much accelerated rate. Dentists pioneered violet laser because it would cut down the healing time where stitches that would take, you know, several days could come in and out in about half the time. And they could even re-knit bone tissue. And so they found that healing was greatly improved. Most of this work was done in the Netherlands and in Europe to begin with. Dentists started the World Association of Laser Therapists several decades ago. So it's not new technology. It was just been a little slower to get into mainstream in the United States. They've used low-level laser for decades in Europe and certainly for decades in the United States with animals. So it's becoming more prevalent. We find laser being used all over in all different types of applications. So it's a wonderful method to use light for healing.
Because we are light.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So use what you is
well,
to heal.
Conception, when an egg is fertilized at conception, there's a flash of light.
Mm.
And it's the same frequency as the frequency of our cells, approximately 635 nanometers. And they replicate that, and that happens to be red to the human eye. So when you see lasers out there that are blue and green and different colors and invisible, the red happens to correspond to cells of people and animals.
We are living in Star Trek,
yeah.
Like, okay. Really, realistically.
Oh, yeah.
This is just pretty fascinating. I mean, I just love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
So, before we go, how do you crazy people get involved with all this work?
Well, I crashed a hang glider years ago, and I was a senior engineer with British Telecom, and my back wouldn't clear up despite all the techniques I was using. And the senior engineers I worked with said, you need to go see this doctor. He's a little weird. He does this thing where he pushes on your arm and can't explain how it works, but he's helped us, and we think he could help you. And he found that I had an emotional piece that needed to be cleared before I could move forward, and the techniques then started working, and I was fascinated by it, and I left high tech to get into high tech healing, and he mentored me through some really great training with some of the top laser docs in the world and some of the top muscle testing teachers and techniques we've been able to learn and apply. So that's how I got started.
Yeah, and for me, it was a journey. I was also an engineer at Hewlett Packard. I won't say for how long, but it was a long time. And I had always been interested in nutrition. I was a super blue green algae eater back in the 90s, and I tried to get the engineers I worked with to be really on board with eating that way, but they preferred me leave them alone to their Doritos and Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
So it wasn't exactly the place for me to practice my nutritional. So anyway, I got to the point where I had the opportunity to leave and pursue a different career. And so I knew how much fun Carl was having. He had recently finished his bioenergetic doctorate and his doctor of natural medicine. And I was like, I need to get in on that. So I say I went from troubleshooting computers to troubleshooting bodies.
Yeah.
That's kind of my tagline. I'm kind of the detective here. In addition to other things we do, I also do a lot of lab work if we need to actually, let's just see what's going on.
Yeah.
So we use the energetic side, but we're not opposed to pulling a lab if we need to. So that's kind of how I got here.
I love it. It's
yeah.
So amazing. So as far as, you know, our work to heal ourselves, how do you think we can accelerate that? Or I guess better yet, because I do, you know, I really do. Sure, I'm trying to shift my thinking around, you know, healing and keeping us on the track of like we are healing. And I do feel like sometimes I focus on, oh my God, what's going on? But like, in order to heal, we got to know what's going on. If I, from the emotional standpoint, whether it's like something that, you know, it's like my heart was broken at some point,
mm-hmm.
or something happened. Can we actually heal if we don't let go of some of the past stuff that's occurred? Can we actually heal this physical body, or will there always be an imbalance if we don't get rid of that emotional piece?
Well, we have the option. Once we have the information, we can then decide what we want to do with that information. So I think the first step is finding out, you know, what our body shows us, what it wants to bring up. What your body has its own priority system, so it will prioritize the things that it wants us to work on first. When we use muscle response testing and we're checking each of the organs, we're looking for what's under stress. And finding out what our stressors are and being able to balance those, whether it may be a chemical toxicity or metal toxicity, or maybe we've got an immune challenge like a virus, bacteria, parasite, or fungus. We're not walking around feeling terrible, like a cough or a sore throat, but we still have an underlying, you know, immune challenge. So finding those and finding out what foods don't work well with us gives us the step to correcting and moving on a more healthy healing path, a more natural path. And, you know, I like to say we are goldfish in a dirty tank, basically, and we really can't clean the whole tank, but we can clean ourselves and give ourselves the ability for our natural detox pathways to work better. The body is a great detox machine given the right opportunities to detox and cleanse and restore tissue. So when you give your body healthy, genuine replacement parts, as opposed to something synthetic or you know, eating processed foods and things like that, if you can give your body a more healthy diet, you know, lean more towards organics and things that agree with you, then you give your body every opportunity to heal and restore the tissue and, you know, restore that neural function and become more clear-headed and get more better rest, and life just gets better.
I mean, our natural state before we started incorporating all these processed foods, regardless if my grandparents were eating lard or not, you know, they weren't eating all this processed food. Right. So our natural state of being is wellness and health and being healthy and feeling good.
Yes.
And so to your point, if we can get clear here, regardless of trying to like change the world, try to get our bodies in order.
Yeah. And I think our message is always emotions could be a part. You know, if you feel stuck, it's worth checking out. You know, is there an emotional component?
But it's not always. Like, there's not always an emotional component, or is there?
I like to think every case has a nutritional component and every case has an emotional component.
Okay.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think I am a very logical left-brain engineer, so I would prefer not to have to deal with feelings or emotions, so I get that. So I kind of would be the one who would go to the denial phase of, yeah, there's no emotion here. Look somewhere else.
You're a Vulcan. And the fact that I'm even talking about Star Trek, I can't believe I'm like outed myself, but I have to tell you, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But I would say, you know, when you can get yourself there to maybe consider the emotional pieces, I think the tricky thing that Carl kind of alluded to throughout this is this could be in your subconscious. You may not feel or think that there's anything going on.
Yeah.
But there could be something that happened when you were so small you don't remember, but that to your subconscious mind is still very real today and is creating some sort of that neuropeptide block in an organ or some system of your body. So, yeah.
So I want to, I mean, I feel like it's a whole other hour, so we'll have to talk about it another time, but like briefly, I guess that's ultimately the question. Like, can I actually clear all of that stuff so that I can be energetically and physically and spiritually in this present moment where all that stuff is gone and we're now just like dealing with what is versus what was? Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility while we're alive on this planet in this body?
Ooh.
TBD.
Well, I think it's a journey, and we do everything we can along the way. It's not a destination, so we every day make choices and try to move towards, you know, a healthier overall structure, our physical, our things we take in, so our diet and our exercise and our oxygen and our water and our mental state. So we work towards clarity and living a cleaner, more wholesome lifestyle, but I don't know that we ever fully eliminate all of it.
One thing we find with emotions is similar to other health issues where you may have one main symptom that you're trying to resolve, but underneath there, maybe if you resolve that, oh, now there's something else. So
Great. There's
always layers, and that's true that we find with emotions too, is, you know, it may not be, you know, one session or one time and you're done kind of thing.
Yeah.
And your body, like Carl said, is going to bring up priorities. So maybe for a while it's working on a chemical toxicity, and then it gets done with that, and then it's, okay, I got an emotional piece I want to clear. And so there are layers, and the emotions can come up at times that we're not expecting, or may not come up at all for some people for a very long time. They may have enough other things the body has prioritized to deal with first. So you're probably you're probably always going to be working on some layer.
Sounds like that's why we're on the planet, like to be working it out.
Yeah,
I think like we're not here just to like have a, I mean, we are here to have a good time, but we're not just here. We're here to like do our work and learn our lessons and change the world for the better. And through that work, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, if you had a crystal ball and you knew what was going to happen tomorrow and the next day, would you really live your life to the fullest today?
No. I mean, it'd be fun though sometimes just to be like, but I think that's part of the game or, you know, part of the dance. It's not a game. I mean, it's part of the dance with the universe, you know, that's about trust and faith and like getting your energy right and your intention right. And like all those things, whatever that is for you.
I think what a lot of people find when they deal, especially with some pretty significant health issues, is those experiences are then used to help other people.
Mm-hmm.
When you're truly pursuing good health and trying to figure out what's going on, what are the root causes, and you're on that journey, you are now qualified to help someone else who's not quite up to you yet.
Yep.
And so all, you know, it's painful to go through some of the things we do, but what a lot of good we can do with it.
Yeah.
In helping others, it makes us stronger. I mean, that's how the little caterpillar, you know, becomes the butterfly. You got to work at it.
Yeah. Amen. Yes. I love it. Well, thank you too. I can talk to you for the next week about all this, and I know we'll continue the conversation. I'm really excited because you're going to be at the Gut Check Summit in the Wellness Expo. So that's super cool. And sharing your gifts and talents. And I mean, the people will meet you and just feel your good vibes. And and also like, yes, you have good vibes, but it's rooted in true training and being masters of your craft. So thank you for the gifts that you're giving to people. They need it.
Thank
you. We're
very
excited to meet everyone and meet the other practitioners and the folks that show up. We're excited.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.